Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tempest Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy. The other name, the last name that I shared with you was Jehovah Shalom, and it means the Lord is near or present. He's always present. He's present. He was present in our past. He's present in our now, and he's going to be present in our future. He is always present with us. That's why he is the God who heals and so many other things. Knowing the character of God, I think, is extremely important for us to. And of course, this is not an exhaustive list. This will be 15 names that are the names of God. We've done 12 of them so far. And today we will be doing the 13th name, Jehovah Makedesh. I'll explain that just a little bit. But I think it's very important that in the church today, I think we've gotten to the point where we like to hear these messages that are always uplifting and encouraging, and that's good. We should get uplifting, encouraging messages. We like to hear about the grace of God. We like to hear about the love of God. We like to hear about God's mercy. But there's also the aspect of God who, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find out that God actually gets angry sometimes. And he gets angry with sin. That's what makes him angry. He also is a God, because he is a righteous God, he's a God who must judge righteously. Therefore, sin will be judged someday. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to be talking about this morning some of the things in regards to what God has expectations for his people. But as believers in Jesus Christ, he loves us. He has grace and mercy and compassion, but he will not tolerate a lifestyle of sin. And that's a reality. He expects his people to be holy and righteous before him. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. No one ever is. But it means that you're always striving. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Let's back up, because we need to talk a little bit about Jehovah Makedesh. The literal meaning of Jehovah or Yehovah from a scriptural standpoint is that I am the one who is, or the self-existent one. God has always existed. There wasn't a beginning for him, and there will never, ever be an end. He will exist forever and has existed forever. So he's not on time, a life cycle like we are. The Greek tetragrammation of this word in the Old Testament is actually Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and most biblical scholars believe that this was probably pronounced Yahweh or Yahweh. But they also believe it's not the complete name of God. And they believe that because Orthodox Jews say that the name of God is too holy to write or pronounce. If you ever read anything that is written by a rabbi or an Orthodox Jew, you will see that they will not even write the name of God. They won't write God, GD. Because they believe that his name is so holy that no one should take the chance that you might take that name in vain. Now, I think they've made a huge mistake by covering up the name of our God. But it makes no difference, because what we most important thing that we need to recognize is that we worship God with our heart, so it doesn't matter what his name is. I believe, you know, to use the name Jehovah, Yahweh, any of those terms that we use, Lord, to reference him is appropriate, because we're worshiping him. When we come in here on Sunday mornings, we're here to worship the living God. And to glorify his name. We don't want to take his name in vain. Taking his name in vain, you know, I know growing up as in a Christian family, you know, everyone always considered taking God's name in vain was by cursing, you know, God this and God that. And, you know, that is one of the ways that we would take God's name in vain, but it's not the only way. You can take God's name in vain by going through religious tradition and not really doing it from your heart. So we need to be really careful with that. There's a little boy that was pulling on a lawnmower rope one day, trying to get his lawnmower started, and it just wouldn't start, and the preacher came along, said, "Here, let me help you, son." So the preacher pulled on it. He pulled on it several times, and nothing, not a sputter, nothing. The little boy said, "Well, my dad says you have to kick it and cuss a few times to start the lawnmower." And the preacher said, "Son, I haven't cussed for years. I don't know if I even remember how. I can't do that." The little boy said, "Keep pulling on that and you'll remember." Yeah, if you've ever pulled on a lawnmower over and over, you know exactly what he means by that. Well, you know, cursing God or taking God's name in vain can come in a lot of different forms. But what we want to recognize this morning is that God is a holy God, and that holy God is a sanctifier. Because the word here that is Makadesh is taken from a Hebrew, or the Hebrew word that means sanctify. It's just a fancy name to say set apart or to make holy. So Jehovah Makadesh means the Lord who sanctifies. And Makadesh comes from that Hebrew word that means to set apart, to make holy. So when we look at this, Jehovah Makadesh, it describes God as the one who sanctifies or makes his people holy. The name appears twice in Scripture in the Old Testament. Exodus 31, 12, and 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Leviticus 20, verse 8, "And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." God is the sanctifier. So the first point this morning, I want to look at four essential things to know about sanctification. Number one, God does the sanctifying. We can't make ourselves holy or set apart. Jehovah Makadesh is the one who does that. The Lord sanctifies us. The changes in our life that make us more like Jesus are changes that are brought about by Holy Spirit, not about our own efforts. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 gives us this truth. "By grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's a gift that you receive, that you are set apart, that you receive salvation. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God ordained the good works that we are going to, that we are supposed to do, but we don't earn anything any salvation or any blessings from God. We are receive what God gives us because He is the sanctifier. Jesus made this very clear in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. How many of you have ever grown a vine of any kind? We have cucumbers. Cucumbers are a vine. I put them on a trellis this year. First time I've ever done that. I like that. It's nice that they intentionally climb up that trellis because they're a vine. And the cucumbers are easier to get to. The fruit's there. You can pick them easier. They seem to be healthier. But the fruit is on the vine. The vine is not on the fruit. Fruit hangs from the vine. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. That we're the branches. We're the part of it. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 10. We'll begin with verse 5. Give you a second to get there. Verse 5 says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Now, what is the rule when a Bible teacher teaches you and he starts with a verse that says, therefore? Anybody remember that rule? What's that, Linda?
Go and see what it's there for.
Yes, go back and see what it's there for. It's an important rule when you're studying the Word of God because, you know, from there on, the author of the Scriptures is just taking it for granted that you know what he's talking about when he said, therefore. So, therefore, we're starting with, we'll go back to verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. He's making a very good point. It was the blood of bulls and goats and all the sacrifices that were done in Israel could not remove sin. They were a covering for sin for a short period of time. They didn't remove sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, talking about Jesus, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O Lord. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will he have been sanctified through offering of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once and for all. By that, we have been sanctified through the offering of Jesus Christ. That's where the sanctification comes from. Jehovah Makedesh is the Lord who sanctifies. And each and every one of us must receive that setting apart, that salvation in Jesus Christ that sets us apart to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of intelligent people who have been educated in our atheistic system that have rejected God. But then there are some that God seems to break through that hard shell that's been built up in their heart for many, many years. Many of them have gone through the atheistic educational system that has taught them to reject God. Some of those men I'll share with you. One of them was way back, some time ago, C.S. Lewis, Alistair McGrath, Josh McDowell, Jordan Peterson, who is probably the most recent convert to Christ. Now, don't agree with everything that Jordan says, but he does believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Francis Collins, Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, they did a movie on Lee Strobel's life, Case for Christ. You know, he was a staunch atheist, a journalist, educated not to believe in God, and yet God broke through, touched his life. Francis Collins is an American geneticist who discovered the genes associated with a number of genes. This is a very intelligent man. Very intelligent. I probably couldn't sit down and have a conversation with him. He directed the Human Genome Project, which mapped human genes. He founded BioLogos. Collins worked on the human genome and showed overwhelming proof. As he worked on this, he began to realize that there was overwhelming proof that God existed. Man was created, not just happened. However, on some issues in regards to evolution and biblical teachings, I would disagree with Collins. But the most important, absolutely most important, I agree on with him. He said this: I believe in the literal rising of the body of Christ. It's the cornerstone of my Christian faith. Hallelujah. Now, I share this with you because I want you to know that these men that I shared with you, some of them, they've been Christians for a long time, and God has done some incredible work in their lives, and they've developed. What I'm trying to share with you is that when Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are sanctified and set apart. There is an immediate sanctification process that takes place in you. Bam! You're sanctified. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that then, from that point on, you are set aside, you are set apart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, from there on, you begin a sanctification process in your life. And if that sanctification process is not ongoing, there is something wrong with your relationship with the Lord, and you need to go back and fix it. Get it right. Listen, I grew up in a holiness church. And in holiness realms, at least the ones that I grew up in, there was a belief that sanctification was the second work of grace, and all you had to do was go to the altar, get sanctified, and you were perfect from then on. Now, the people that believed in that never proved it to me, but that was kind of the belief. But what I've come to realize is that, yeah, we get set apart. There's no doubt about it. We are special in God's eyes when we receive Christ's personal Savior. But this process begins to work in us. And God begins, oh, gee whiz, went over my... Who put that there? And that process begins to work in our lives. So that's the next thing that I want to talk to you about this morning, is that sanctification is a process. When Christ sets us apart as one of his own, and that's what it is, he begins a transformation process in your life and in my life, in all our lives, that is an ongoing process. Being sanctified, being made holy, just keeps taking place in our life. And what I mean by that is that we begin to see things in our life that we need to change. And Holy Spirit begins to deal with us. As we hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, We begin to receive conviction about things. Hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing that, or maybe I shouldn't participate in that any longer. And God begins to work on your heart. And if we're sensitive to the Spirit, we'll begin to say, hey, I want to make these changes because I want to please my Heavenly Father. You see, the goal of sanctification is to become more like Jesus. But remember, it's a goal. How many has ever set a goal in your life? Okay, good. Good. We need to have goals, no doubt about it. If you set a goal, that means that you're trying to attain that goal, correct? And that's what we're striving for. We're trying to attain the goal of being like Jesus, perfect in all our ways. Hallelujah. Will you ever get there? No. Pastor Otis is close. No, Ivy said no, no, no. No. Okay. We know we're not going to attain it, but we're striving for it. That's our goal. So when sin's revealed in our life, guess what? We say, hey, wait a minute. God's speaking to me. I need to make some changes. And Holy Spirit, He's a gentleman, but listen, He won't leave you alone. He'll just keep convicting and convicting and convicting and speaking to you. 1 John verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He's given us instructions so we can move away from sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So He makes it perfectly clear. We're not going to be perfect. We are going to sin. But guess what? We can always go back to Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me. I did wrong. I made a mistake. Or I willfully did something that I should not have done. Forgive me. And He looks at your heart. And guess what? That sanctification process just continues to work in each and every one of us. Let me read this scripture to you and then we'll move on to the next. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul writes this, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. See, he makes it real clear there. Jesus laid hold of him, but now he's striving to lay hold more and more of Jesus, striving for the goal. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Hallelujah! That gives us hope. I'm not just living in this mundane life. I'm searching and seeking and striving for something better. And He has it for us. The Apostle Paul says, I say it with him, press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Higher and higher and higher we climb. We'll not reach the fullness and the likeness of Jesus, but we strive for it. The apostle wrote this also, Apostle John, 1 John 3:2. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah. That's when it's going to happen. Not until then. We're striving for it, but once He is revealed, guess what? We're going to be like Him. Perfect. In all our ways. One writer put it this way. Holiness is not the way to Christ, but Christ is the way to holiness. And that's a fact. Number three, we must cooperate in the process of sanctification. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Consecrate is the same word, Kadesh, or that comes from the word that is rendered Makedesh. And it means to sanctify. In 108 places, it actually is rendered sanctify in the King James. So, consecrate and sanctify in this scripture is the same Hebrew word. And consecrate and sanctify in English, it basically means the same thing. Be set apart, be holy. Consecration helps us to recognize, or sanctification helps us to recognize that we serve a holy God, and He wants us to set apart our life to serve Him wholly and completely. It is God through the Holy Spirit who does the work in us. But we have to cooperate with the Spirit when He speaks to us. I told you that He will convict you. He'll speak to you. Hopefully He's convicting you this morning about some things, because none of us is perfect. We need to keep working. He wants to help us. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. He won't force us to do good and do right, but He'll keep working on us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. If you want to turn there, you can do that. I'm going to read it. Galatians 5, 16 through 21. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How do we keep from fulfilling the lusts of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. See, he's making this very clear. We're in this battle. There's a battle raging in us. We're fighting. We're fighting against an enemy. We're fighting against our flesh. We're fighting against this world. We're fighting on three fronts. But guess what? We're not fighting alone. We have Holy Spirit inside of us that causes us to be able to rise up and to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. But if you're led by the Spirit, verse 18, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we continue practicing these things, we are not pleasing to God. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. He's just trying to point out the works of the flesh. And we could just probably keep on going and name hundreds of works of the flesh. And sometimes we like to focus on the things that most of us are not doing, like adultery and fornication and homosexuality, sodomy. You know, yeah, God, you know, I know those are evil things. So whoever's doing it, get them. But listen carefully to this list. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies of all kinds, and there's a lot of those in the body of Christ. You see, it's not just those things that we like to label evil and nasty. It's the things that all of us have to deal with as believers in Christ. But good news, Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome these things in our life. And it's our responsibility then to cooperate with Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Word of God in Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue holiness. What's it mean to pursue? Well, when I was dating my wife and I pursued her, that meant that I called her. I set times when I would come over and visit her, much to her father's dismay. I would do things that I thought was pleasing to her. Because why? I was pursuing her. I wanted her to be more than just my girlfriend. At the time, I didn't realize that, but now I know. I had a plan, and more than that, God had a plan.
Amen.
Praise God. So I pursued her. I chased after her. And you know, as we get through the years, if I'm not careful, I forget to pursue my wife. And she still needs me to pursue her. She still needs me to chase after her. She still needs to know that I care about her. I love her. She still needs me to bring her zero candy bars. And do the dishes. Hallelujah. I hate doing the dishes. But guess what? That speaks volumes of love to my wife. So I do the dishes. Do nice things for her. She needs me to pursue her. And I say this because I've been a believer in Jesus Christ for many years, over 40 years. And in doing so, I recognize that my relationship with Jesus can be the same as my relationship with my wife. I can take it for granted and stop really pursuing Him and pursuing what He wants for me and for my life. Allow this world and the things of this world to get in the way of my relationship with Him. So I have to remind myself, and thank you for allowing me to preach this message so that I can begin to recognize I've got to continue to pursue Jesus, pursue my God, chase after Him. It's always our responsibility to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He desires to make changes in our lives. And one, I mentioned to you all these men who were former atheists, and there's many women. You can go online and type up atheists who become Christians, and you'll get a whole list of people. You know, some of them, I'd have no idea. Some of them, I have no idea who they are or what their lifestyle really is. But there is a list of men and women. So there's people out there who are striving to please the Lord. But one of those atheists, and I'm not sure which one it was, but they said when they became a believer, they said, I lost a lot of friends. Honestly, even then, my beliefs, first becoming a believer, even then my beliefs were more aligned with the atheistic evolutionary belief system than Christianity. In just about all areas of their belief system. But here's what happened to them. Just saying that they were going to go to church or saying that Jesus is God caused their atheistic friends to hate them and not want to spend time with them. Who's tolerant? Where's the tolerance that they always talk about on the far left? Let's be tolerant of everyone all the time. But when it really comes down to it, there's no tolerance. Not the kind of tolerance that there should be. Their form of tolerance is only if you agree with me. But our tolerance is we love you. We may not agree with you, but we will still show the love of Jesus Christ to you. In hopes Christ will break through to you. But they went on to say, it was a very difficult time in my life. Even so, my newfound joy and peace in Christ sustained me in my new faith. They were cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, regardless of what was happening all around them, regardless of how they were being treated, Holy Spirit was ministering, dealing with, and changing their life. The last thing I share with you today is the Word of God sanctifies us. That's why it's important that you're here this morning, hearing the preaching of the Word of God. That's why it's important that you study the Word of God on your own. If this is all you get, is one day a week on Sunday mornings, I'm thankful that you're getting that, but it's not enough. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. I'm happy to be able to share the Word of God with you. It's exciting for me. But it's not enough. You've got to open that Bible. You've got to read the Word of God for yourself. Maybe you're a very busy person. Great, guess what? We have great technology these days. There's Bible apps that you can get, and they'll read the Bible to you. I have Bible on tape that sometimes I just listen to it throughout the day when I'm doing things. Don't neglect the Word of God. It's powerful, and it will sanctify you. On earth, Jesus said this to his followers. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. What is your truth, God? Your word is truth. It's the Word of God. Do not allow those who are trying to tell you that the Bible is not the holy and errant Word of the living God. There's so many people out there these days that are trying to spread that nonsense. God gave us the Word. This Bible. We have different versions of the Bible. Be careful. I think that it's important that you make sure that it was translated properly from the proper manuscripts. The New Testament, or the King James or the New King James, both. I think several of the other translations were translated from the the Hebrew text in the Old Testament. And then the Greek Textus Receptus, which is the text that was most received by the churches in the first century. It was, and then beyond, that was circulated among the churches. They didn't take the scriptures or the books of the Bible that seemed to be the newest. They took the ones that appeared that they were passed around most often to the churches, the Textus Receptus. But regardless, do not allow people to lie to you. They'll tell you that you can't trust this. We can't trust this. There is nothing you can trust. Nothing. And God knows, in our society today, it's hard to trust much of anything. Or anyone. But this is reliable. It's the Word of God. God speaks to us through so many different ways. Is there anybody in here that feels like they've ever heard the audible voice of God? Okay. Few people have. Okay. That's great. I've known other people that I trust that they said they've heard the audible voice of God. I don't think that I've ever heard the audible voice of God, but I certainly have heard God speak to me here and here. And he's told me things, personal things, that I don't share with other people. But he spoke to me about some stuff. And I know it was God. I just know that I know that I know. In our Connect group the other night, Betty Folk said she wanted to hear God. I think you wanted to hear the audible voice of God, didn't you? She hears God all the time. She knows that God's speaking to her. She wanted to hear the audible voice of God. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God to speak to us that way. But don't put all your faith in expecting God to speak to you audibly. Put your faith in the fact that he can speak to you through his word above all else. Most of the time when God speaks to me, it's while I'm reading his word. The scripture just jumps out at me. And it just touches me. And I know God is saying that same thing that he said hundreds of years ago. He's saying it to me. It can be Old Testament, it can be New Testament, it can be, you know, it may not necessarily be exactly relevant to what I'm going through. It may be something that happened to some king or some prophet or the whole nation of Israel, but God pierces my heart and says, Rob, this is for you. Hallelujah. I want you all to experience that. There's nothing like it.
Absolutely.
The most significant part of God speaking to us is that he uses that word to sanctify us, to set us apart. His word sanctifies us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Y'all know this scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the people of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the word does for us. It equips us for every good work. Hallelujah. I read this little prayer that a guy wrote down. I think it's relative to what I'm talking about this morning. The guy said, Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that, God. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need your help. Amen. Hallelujah. When we carefully study God's word, he'll change us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord God. Is there anyone else? I know we already had prayer this morning, but is there anyone else who would like to have prayer today? Hallelujah. If you do, we definitely don't want to neglect that. All right. I think maybe all needs have been met this morning, so let's just pray and dismiss. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this awesome day that you've given us. Thank you for the time that we'll be able to spend with family today and brothers and sisters in Christ. Go with us, Lord, as we leave this place. Stir our hearts, Lord, to be more like you. Sanctify us every day, every moment of our life. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to pursue you, Father, in all things. Chase after you. Lord, this morning, We give you glory and honor. We praise your holy name as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.